Daniel, the fourth chapter. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Oh, glory to God. See, let me tell you why you're getting Daniel the fourth chapter. Let me tell you why this place is so important. Because while the church is busy judging and condemning people for their struggles, we're busy setting them free. While the church is busy labeling this and labeling that, we're busy setting folk free by the power of God. I wish I had somebody in here to talk to. So when they start operating in their gifts, you're like, where that come from? It was bound. I can't get help. It was bound. And now you get somebody set free. That's what you get. I wish I had somebody in here. That's what you get. Woo! He moves mountains, baby. He causes walls. I feel like preaching in here. He breaks chains. Oh, God. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Come on, let me preach to you so you don't think we're heretics. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Everything that you see and everything that happened here has been 100% scriptural. 100% scriptural. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh. Man, I could stop right here and go home. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Daniel, the fourth chapter. Yeah. Four. We're going to read verse 18 and verse 36. I promise to put it in its entire context for you. Verse 18 is where we'll begin. And then we'll finish up in verse 36. So verse 18 and verse 36. And the word of God declares, the dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belshazzar, declare its interpretation. Since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Verse 36 declares, at the same time, my reason returned to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, remembered and restored. Remembered and restored. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us this morning that it changes everything. It is evident that you are here with us this morning. So, Father, have your way. Let this word touch our hearts. Let it enter into our ears. Let us not miss anything you have for us this morning. We want to be changed by your power. We refuse to become satisfied with a fraction. We want it all, God, every promise that you've given us. And we'll declare your glory everywhere we go. We'll shout your praises wherever you send us, because because you deserve all the glory. I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. Move as you see fit, Father. I release your ministering angels into this atmosphere. Let not one person leave this place the way they came. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. You agree? Shout amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. You know how we do at KLC. Smile as bright as you can. Show them that pretty face. Come on. Everything God has blessed you with. And say, God has remembered. And now he will restore. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to move quickly just for the sake of time. And I actually don't want to leave the presence of the Lord. It is so powerful in here. I want to bring us to where we need to go quickly this morning, if that is all right. I want to first give you some historical context of the text. This is the book of Daniel. This is one of the last, where it is inserted, the last major prophet, speaking of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And then we get Daniel out of the four major prophets, major and minor, not minor in scope, but minor in work. And so Daniel being one of the last prophetic voices in that grouping of prophetic voices of Isaiah and of Jeremiah and of Ezekiel. And it is Daniel who is part of the Babylonian captivity. His name was changed from Daniel to Belshazzar. Belshazzar meaning son of Baal. Baal was the god that the Babylonians worshipped. And when the Babylonians would capture you, they would take you from your land, burn everything, and then they would indoctrinate you with their culture. And so you were no longer able to function in your normal sense of worship or your normal sense of identity. You had to take on the identity of the Babylonian culture. And therefore, your name was changed. We know the stories of Daniel all too well from Sunday school. We understand Daniel in the lion's den. We get the concept of Daniel and his Hebrew cousins, those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. Abednego is his name. Their names were also changed. Those names described in the Bible are Babylonian names. These were not their Hebrew names. That's a different preach. And so Daniel, of course, now being inside of the king's council and the king's court because of a first dream that the king had. The king had a dream about him losing his kingdom, and Daniel was the only person that was able to interpret the dream. His stock rose, and he became a part of the king's council. And then there was a decree in the land that at a certain time, all must bow to worship the king. The Hebrews had a problem with that because their commandment was there should be no other gods before their God. And so with courage and character and conviction, these three Hebrew boys decided not to bow their knee to Baal. And so they were punished for that, and their punishment was to be thrown in the fiery furnace. You have to understand the furnace was built and it had four compartments. The part they was thrown in was in the final stage of where the bricks would go to become bricks, which was the hottest part. The king had a view or a vantage point to see them burning. But there was a problem because when he put in three, the Bible says, as he looked in, he says he thought he put in three, but looked up and saw four in the middle of the fire. In other words, he realized that he put these boys in there, but somebody was in there with them. Can I parenthetically insert into your spirit that no matter what you face in 2016, the Lord your God is with you. Touch your neighbor and say, he's with me. He's with me. Even if it's in the fire. The Bible says that they threw him in the fire, and as they saw them burning, he saw one that looks like the Son of God. Theologically, it's hard for me to preach that because I always wonder how in the world did Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God looked like? unless somebody who was in there was giving him a description of who God was. In 2016, you cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you better know that you know, as my father used to say, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you belong to God. You better know and be able to shout not only your salvation, but step into the joy of your salvation. You better understand that it is you that ought to rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You ought to rejoice in the fact that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you better rejoice in the fact that you can overcome anything the enemy throws at you by the word of your testimony and by that blood of the Lamb. Look at your name and say, I am not ashamed. I'm saved and I thank God for it. I wish I had somebody to talk to. It is the body of Christ today who has succumbed, if you will, and ceded territory to the cultures of the world. We have cloistered ourselves inside our sanctuaries and we have church. And when we leave, we say we had a good time. And we reserve the glory for the house of God, but we don't do what the glory was designed to do, and that was to show itself outside. The glory in the Old Testament manifested itself over the tent of meetings, but it did not manifest itself on the inside. It manifested itself on the outside. The world needs to see the glory of God, and the only way the world is going to see the glory of God is if you and I go take it to them. The reason why Nebuchadnezzar was able to have a description of the Son of God was because he had surrounded himself, anointed him, of some people that knew who God was and refused to bow their knee to anything that wasn't like God. And so Daniel and his three cousins were promoted, if you will. We know that when you are promoted, if you will, problems come. Because in actuality, problems are your promotion. And so when the problems come, they come through way of people, because people will not always like your promotion. And that's all right. There's no need to get bent out of shape with haters or opposition. You just cannot allow their negativity to enter into your mindset or let what they are saying deter you from what you know God has called you to do. More importantly, you cannot allow them to cause you to change the message that God has given you to herald. In other words, you cannot dilute it in any fashion or in any way. You cannot allow it to affect you to the point where you're so reserved that you are afraid to tell anybody who you are and what you believe in. I am not ashamed of the gospel in this sense, that I can go in any world and in any culture and still be me and walk out unscathed. I wish I had somebody to talk to. I don't have to hate you for what you believe, and I don't have to condemn you for what you believe. I'm just going to walk in the room knowing who I am and who I belong to. I feel like preaching to somebody. And because of who I am and who I belong to, it is on me to display the glory of God, the love of God, the peace of God. I can't get help from anybody to a world that doesn't want to put anything on display but chaos. And so you have to understand then, wherever God sends me and wherever he calls me to go, he has placed on the inside of me the ability to keep his message intact without me losing my mind, because I'm surrounded by people who are not like me. The reason why I don't lose my mind is because I am reminded when I enter into those different worlds how messed up I used to be, and now can reflect on the fact that I am no longer as jacked up as I was. I am a mess, but I am also a miracle at the same time. And that God has never given up on me at any step or at any way or at any turn, even when I lost my mind for a season and forgot how good he was and act like I didn't want to serve him. I wish I had somebody to talk to. Look at your name and say, let me remind you so you can have some hope. It is because of the Lord's mercies that you and I are not consumed. Look at your name and say, in short, God has been real good to me. And I feel like telling somebody how good he has been.
He healed me. He set me free. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Do I have a church in here this morning? Slap your neighbor high five and say, God been good to me. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Let me move on quickly. Daniel wasn't going to let anyone deter or belittle him in the sense of his message for God. And so he kept it intact. As a result, he was promoted, if you will, again. The Bible says that because they did not bow their knee to Baal, that now Nebuchadnezzar wants to serve their God. That's where we find ourselves in the fourth chapter. And so Nebuchadnezzar decides that he wants to make God his God, but he also wants to keep intact his culture. He doesn't want to change. He does not want to do anything differently. He just wants to acknowledge that God is, but he doesn't want his character to change. He does not want to be humbled. He wants to keep his pride intact. I feel like preaching to somebody. He wants what Daniel and them have, because now it has become, if you will, part of the culture. It's hip. It's in. It's something that everybody can say they have done. But the authenticity of the gospel changes you from the inside out. There is no way you can say you are a child of God and remain the same individual that you were when you first came to him. Look at your name and say, I am changing for the better. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Come on, I'm getting somewhere with this thing. And so now he has a second dream. In his first dream, if you would, it was about his enemies, and he could not interpret it. But in the second dream, it was about him. And in his dream, he has this dream about this tree, and this tree being chopped down, if you will, to size and falling down. And he saw all these watchers and so forth and so on. And he saw the Most High overlooking this tree and watching it get cut down to size. And he saw the roots of the tree, God, and all this wonderful stuff. And nobody in his council could interpret the dream. It is amazing to me that Nebuchadnezzar went back to the same individuals who could not help him the first time, and then goes back a second time trying to get their insight on what in the world is going on. Can I now speak prophetically for a moment? It is the culture of the day that we have so many problems in our society that people are looking for wisdom from anywhere they can get it. The Bible is explicit about wisdom. It says that you spare no expense, in short, to get it. And so the world is looking for somebody with answers as to why there's so much chaos in our culture. They're looking to people to give them the answer, but those people, noble as they are, don't have the answers. And so where we stand in the culture today is for people who are in decision-making places looking for somebody who can give an answer as to why things are the way they are. And so what they're really looking for is somebody that is connected to God, that is not ashamed of that fact, who has also been prepared to walk in palaces, I feel like preaching to somebody, and walk in places of high position because they are professional enough and have taken the time to dedicate themselves to a craft, but also haven't forgotten the fact that they were a mess and are now a miracle because of the work of the Lord in their life, and have the audacity to go in and say, I have the answer. And the answer is not going to come from the textbook. The answer is not going to come from the journal article. The answer is not going to come from your research. The answer is going to come from the power of the living God. They can't tell them, I got this answer from prayer, but they are professional enough to be able to go in and articulate why they believe. I feel like preaching to somebody what they believe. You can't go and say, I was in prayer last night and God gave this to me. Am I talking to anybody? That won't play in the boardroom. But you're not afraid to walk in there because you've taken the time and the diligence to prepare yourself for what God has called you to. Very quickly, let's get to where we need to go. So they call
for Daniel. It's amazing to me that, God, they call Daniel and they call him by his Hebrew name. They don't call him Belshazzar, son of Bel. They call him Daniel, his Hebrew name. And the reason why they call Daniel is because they're looking for Daniel throughout all the land. Now, Daniel is not with the other noblemen, because remember, it was those noblemen that got him thrown in the lion's den. Daniel is walking on his own and no one can find him. And he says, and the king says, go call for Daniel. And when the king says, go call for Daniel, that means that they have to go throughout all of the city looking for Daniel, going, where is Daniel? Rather than calling him Belshazzar, his name of captivity. When the enemy tries to capture you and change your identity, God will always make sure that you come back to what you were created to be. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so now all of a sudden, Daniel comes to the forefront and he's able to articulate the king's dream. And the Bible says that when he articulates the king's dream, the king says to him, Daniel, I need you to declare this interpretation, since all the wise men of the kingdom are not able to know it. And he says something very powerful. He says, you can do it because you are able, because the spirit of the Holy One is on the inside of you. Can I take you a little deeper now? It was the king, Gentile king, a king who was not a Hebrew. He's not Jewish. He doesn't know the Jewish God. Christianity is not on the scene at this moment. But he doesn't know the God of the Hebrews, and he has an image in his mind of who the Son of God is, and he has some understanding of who God is. But he now acknowledges, you got something, Daniel, that all these other people ain't got. You got something on the inside of you. The Holy One is in there, and you know stuff that nobody else knows. So obviously you have an anointing that is upon your life that nobody else has, and that's how I know you're going to be able to interpret this dream. The reason why the king was able to decipher that there was something unique about Daniel is because Daniel kept his message intact. Too easily, the church falls under the sway of titles. A title of this or that without any functionality. You are apostle this and you are bishop that. My question is, of what? And so you have to understand, we fall under that sway of titles, assuming, if you will, the existence of Ephesians 2:20 that says that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We should be asking the question, then, what message is being attempted, or what message is being held by those individuals who have fake titles? I feel like preaching to somebody, and who are not stewards of God's message. Because the problem then becomes that when you speak to the church under the guise of that title, they take your word as so. And so when you tell somebody it's your time and it's your season, and then you go run out here trying to think it's your time and your season and do something that God does not want you to do, and jump out on a limb that is not faith but wishing, if you will, because you have not allowed the word to change you from the inside out. You're just running off of a, if you will, a suggestion rather than a direction that has been given by the Spirit of the living God. Who am I preaching to in here? Slap your neighbor high five and say, you better decipher the message. You better figure out, is it God or is it not? The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, don't worry, I'm getting to where we need to go. I have us out of here by 12:30. Leave me alone. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was challenged, if you will. He had this vision. And the reason he had this vision was because God wanted him to understand that the people that he gave title to, or the people he gave position to, are preaching outside of the banks of the gospel river. In other words, they have no border or no boundary. And when he saw this vision in the book of Ezekiel, he saw, if you will, these riverbanks, and he
saw, Ezekiel 47 is what I'm talking about, and he saw the deep waters, and the waters continued to be deeper and deeper until the prophet could not touch the bottom. And so what he was trying to say is that Ezekiel, just like Daniel, there's something coming and my glory is going to depart because the people I have deposited my glory in, they don't want to take it to the world. They want to keep it inside the temple. And now they got all this deep revelation and they got all this deep knowledge. I wish I had somebody, but they want to remove it outside the banks of the river. And so he says, in this vision, I want you to understand this, as the waters go deeper and deeper until the prophet could not touch the feet, as nourishing as the waters was and as majestic as that picture was, the Lord brought Ezekiel back to its banks, which were lined with fruit trees that yielded food and healing. In other words, the vision was this. Ezekiel saw this great vision of a river flowing from the temple, and the river was deep, man. You couldn't touch the bottom of it with your feet. But the banks of the river, if you will, were lined with the fruit and fruit trees. And when you ate the fruit, you were healed. I wish I had somebody. There is no goodness in us coming in here having church if we cannot bear fruit that somebody can take and say, I am healed, I am changed, I am delivered, and I am set free. Look at your neighbor and say, he is preaching to you and saving your life. So be careful to run to here and run to there to get a deep revelation that ain't got no fruit, because it's outside of the banks of the river of God. I want to give you a Reformation reality. When change takes place, it's nothing wrong with pursuing the deep waters of revelation and spiritual growth, but we have to value the riverbanks. We have to do it in the boundary of what God has established. No one's helping me out. Where there is reformation, transformation is evident. If God shows up to reform something, you don't have to convince nobody that you've been changed. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. And when you have real reformation, you have an authenticity. It is the striking degree of change that lifts the saints and the church out of dead traditionalism, complacency, and most importantly, error. It inspires a return to a superior condition and position, and it recovers the testimony of Christ. In other words, when you are transformed by what God has reformed, my God, you have such a powerful testimony. Excuse me, that it is evident. It is evident. Give me some water. It is evident. And you don't have to have your car lined with Christian bumper stickers. You don't have to convince nobody that you have been changed. Come on, because when you worship, it's evident. When you praise, it's evident. When you go to work, it's evident. When you go in your house, it's evident. I can't get help here for nobody. You bear fruit. You don't have to tell nobody I went to church, because you are the church. They know there's something distinctly different about you. They know you're not like everybody else. You're not cookie cutter. Yes. You're not like everybody else. There's something different about you. And so because the church, I can speak to an observer because I'm a part of her. I ain't going nowhere. Okay, I can't get help. I'm not on my high horse to criticize, but to correct. True reformation will always and must always bear recognizable and lasting fruit. Would Nebuchadnezzar have called for Daniel if Daniel wasn't able to interpret the first dream, and more importantly, if Daniel's cousins got in the fire and died? No, the reason he called for them was because Daniel had insights into the spiritual world. And then when they were really put to the test, they didn't bow their knee and compromise and decided to get thrown in the fire in the first place and still came out alive, because they live under the decree of the Lord that no weapon formed against you can prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against you, you shall condemn. 1,000 will fall at your side. I ain't got no church. 10,000 at your right hand, but none of it comes nigh you. Here's where you're about to shout. So when God wants to reform something and he wants to transform something, he has to do it with his principles, and most importantly, he has to do it with his anointing. When God wants to do a thing, if this is God's year, it's going to be done by his spirit, by his anointing. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting already. And so in order to remain attuned with those principles, and in order, my God, to remain attuned with his message that he wants to herald, it requires the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In all areas of spiritual pursuit, my God, they have to function in the grace and knowledge of God rather than in human ability and or understanding. In other words, there's some things that God can do that I simply cannot do. He moves mountains. He makes walls come down flat. He breaks chains in a way that I'll never be able to do it. But I have to realize that God will not usurp the word that he gave to the earth, saying that let man have dominion on it, which means he's got to link up and hook up with somebody who is willing to allow the anointing of God to flow through them. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready for a new anointing. You better get in this room with me. I got 10 minutes to do it. Come on, slap him again and say, get ready for a new anointing. When Zerubbabel, the governor, if you will, of Jerusalem, wanted to complete the temple, they want to rebuild Baltimore. I'm preaching prophetically right now. They want to rebuild the city. They want to rebuild the streets. They want to rebuild the corridor. When Zerubbabel wanted to do it, who was the governor? My God, Zechariah the prophet had to come to him and say, Zerubbabel, what you want to do is going to be done, but not by power nor by might, but by the spirit of the living God. In other words, Zerubbabel, you got to get some anointed people around you to get this thing done. Slap your neighbor and say, I get a new anointing today. I get a new anointing. Real quick, there are three ways we can attempt to do God's work. We can trust on our own strength and wisdom. We can borrow the resources of the world. Or we can depend on God. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Or we can depend on the power of God. The first two approaches may appear to succeed, but they fail in the end. Only work done through the power of the Spirit will glorify God and endure the fire. This is why 1 Corinthians 3:12 and 15 declares that everything that is created has to be tested. In other words, what we want to do in this city is going to be tested. And if it's going to be tested and endure the fire when they throw us in there, we better have God on our side. We better have an anointing to be thrown in the fire and realize I ain't standing here for long, because you might have put me in, but God's going to get me out. I feel like preaching to somebody here and y'all not helping me. Anointings are not always fun. The reason anointings aren't fun is because to get anointing means ability. Divine ability. When they wanted to get something difficult off, they would anoint it. If a farmer was plowing his field and had the ox out there all day treading the field of corn, and the yoke that was on the ox would not come off, they would anoint his neck. They would take oil from the olive. And the only way to get the oil is to press it out. So you got to get crushed to get the oil. Okay. Once they get the oil is not used for your bruise from your crushing. The oil is used for somebody that's been bound and can't get something off of them. So the oil is not for you. The oil is for the person that's bound. They would take the oil and they would rub it on the neck, all around the neck of the ox. And that oil, my God, would penetrate the skin, my God, and what was contracted would loosen. And then the yoke that was on him, which was once hard, is now easy to be removed. And they would take the yoke off without having to break the neck of the ox. This is why the Bible says the anointing destroys the yoke. Because once you put the oil on the yoke can never be used again to be put back on the ox that was burdened with it. You have an anointing on the inside of you to take something off of somebody that can never be put back on them again. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm ready for my new anointing. Yes, I am. I gotta hurry. I don't have time. And so Daniel interprets the dream. And when Daniel interprets the dream, my God, hallelujah, all of a sudden this revelation comes. Yokes are being destroyed. Shackles are being destroyed. If you recall, Jesus knew, God, he knew. He told him, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He knew that for reformation to take place, for real change to take place, the Spirit has to be involved. And this is why he told his disciples in John 14, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is more about placement of the body of Christ than a mansion in glory. In other words, he wasn't promising them, I'm going up here to give you a house. I feel like preaching to somebody. He wasn't talking about a mansion in glory. He was talking about placement in the body. In other words, God, as the Lamb, he goes beyond the veil and into the holies of holies where the high priest could go once a year. You all know that. And so forth. And you know that imagery, and the high priest will go into the holies of holies and you would have to tie its leg, because if the priest died in the presence of the Lord, they would have to be pulled out. He says, I'm going into the holies of holies and beyond the veil for a different reason. You're not going to have to pull me out. I'm going in to sprinkle my own blood, not the blood of a sacrifice. And when I go in there, I'm never going to perish or never going to die. And so me as a high priest, speaking of Jesus Christ, I'm not going in so that you can pull me out. I'm going in, my God, instead, and pull you into myself, so that where I am, you can be also. So if I never die, you never die. If I get up, you get up. If I got all power, you got all power. I feel like preaching to somebody. If I got grace, you got grace. I am your peace, so therefore you got peace. I don't have help here from anybody. I have preached better today. Okay. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, 13. So on one level, the anointing illuminates God's principles and causes our vision to align with his. The anointing is essential for revelation when God wants to show up and give you a sudden advancement of his knowledge, my God. And it's critical so that we can function in the spiritual realm of the apostle and prophet prophetic foundation that the banks are laid with, so that we can see the fruit. And so you have to understand, then, unless we have the Spirit behind this whole thing, it's all for naught. And so when the Spirit comes, he comes to bring revelation. Nobody else could get or decipher the dream but by the Spirit of the living God, based upon the testimony of the King. The Holy One lives on the inside of you. That's how you're able to do it, because you got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. It's not, I know you're talented, boo, but it ain't gonna be your talent. It's gonna be something that is intangible that you cannot articulate, but you walk in anyway. I feel like preaching to somebody. That's what makes you powerful, because you know it's not you. You know it's the power of the living God. Today, we want it to be us. It ain't us. Come on here, somebody. There's no way in the world I could have built this. I'd have been messed this thing up. But by the power of the living God, I feel like preaching. It brings revelation. Let me be clear. I got to hurry up, because we're talking about reformation brings transformation that is evident. When you are transformed, you're open to operate in the Spirit in revelation. Revelation is vital because it gives you a sudden burst of the advanced knowledge of God. It is not a new understanding, if you will. It is not something new. Now, it is not a new understanding discovered outside of the banks of the written word of God. Instead, revelation is a divine exposure to what has already been documented in the scripture. In other words, it's already there. I just got exposed to it. I never saw it before, but it's there. Now I see it. So I understand 1 Corinthians 2:9. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Come on, help preacher out. Touch your name and say, God's got something prepared for me. I don't even know about. Y'all not in this room with me. The reason why then the anointing that God has given you is necessary is because the Holy Spirit knows the details of God's eternal plan and purpose. And if you were here on Wednesday night, you know what I'm talking about. So here we go. And the reason why you need this anointing is because the Holy Spirit has the details about what God is up to and what he is about to do. And so he wants to make sure then that when you come to where you're supposed to be, it is based upon the authentic anointing. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be authentic, baby. It's the real deal. Meaning when I get victory in this area and when I win over here, I feel like speaking prophetically right now. So allow me to do so. Come on here. When we capture the city, come on here, somebody. And when you start seeing sustainable change take place all over the place, it's going to be by an authentic anointing. That's not going to be one thing you can put your finger on, but somebody's going to know. Nobody could do this but the Lord. Nobody could change this but God. I'm closing. I feel like I lost you somewhere. Now I lost some of y'all. Watch this. Daniel interprets the dream. Tells the king, King, this is about you. Your pride. It's going to cause your kingdom to fall. Your pride. It's going to mess this thing up. Your pride. The reason we don't see change is because of pride. Too proud to ask people who are anointed to help you. Too proud to say, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. Too proud to realize you don't need to be on the corner. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And when the help comes, you're too proud to say, I want to get off. Pride. Pride is going to kill you. It's going to take you out of here, Nebuchadnezzar. The king said, what? Dan said, yeah, that's your pride. You're the dream. You're the tree. God is cutting you down. Nebuchadnezzar didn't receive it. He didn't want to hear it because neither do you. He said, I don't want to hear that. I'm going back to doing what I was doing. I ain't going to say amen. I ain't going to shout. I ain't going to say hallelujah. I'm going to act like he ain't saying nothing to me because I'm going to go on about my day. And church was good, but it wasn't, that word wasn't for me. I don't know where pastor was. No, I'm talking to you. And he said, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. And he went back to doing what he wanted to do. And the Bible says he lost his mind. He started going crazy. He lost his mind, his mental capacity. They had to hide the king. He couldn't be anywhere. He was losing his mind. And he was losing his mind so much so that he didn't know what to do. And so Nebuchadnezzar started calling on God. God help me. God do something. God, restore me. God, remember me. He started calling on God. And when he called on God, I feel like preaching to somebody here, God brought a reformation and a transformation that was so evident. And the Bible says he started losing his mind. And as he started calling on the Lord, his mind and his reason began to come back to him. And when his reason began to came back to him, he says, I got my praise back in my mouth. And he said, the first thing that I started doing was praising God for restoring my mind. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I've been losing my mind because I forget to praise the Lord for his marvelous works, and I don't act like he ain't done nothing for me, and it's brought me to my wit's end. That's why I'm stressed out. That's why I can't sleep at night. But when I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It was the Lord's mercies that I was not consumed. It makes me have a praise and an adoration in my heart, and I start extolling the name of God and declaring his mighty works and begin to reflect on the goodness of God. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul shouts hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I almost lost my mind, but I started praising the Lord. And when I started praising the Lord, I got my peace back. I got my joy back. I got my hope back. I got my victory back. Somebody need to give God a shout of praise in this place and let God restore the joy of your salvation. Your praise right now is healing your emotional distress. Your praise right now is delivering you from years of bondage. Your praise. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it. Shake your neighbor's hand like it's about to fall off and say, neighbor, I got a praise and I got to get it out. My mind was heavy when I came in here, but I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Does anybody got a yet praise for the Lord? Yet shall I praise him. I'm in great distress, but yet shall I praise the Lord. I got bills due, but yet shall I give him glory. My child is acting up, but I shall declare the goodness of God. Oh, glory to God. Woo! He said, my reason returned. And when my reason returned, the glory of my kingdom was restored back to me. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready for glory to come to your house. I'm talking about the visible Shekinah glory of God that has the favor of God attached. For the Lord shall bless the righteous, and with his favor he shall surround you as with a shield. Slap your name and say, come on God, bring the glory. I need to see something happening. I need my family to see the glory. I need my co-workers to see the glory. And when they see the glory, I feel like preaching in here. He said, the glory returned to my kingdom. The splendor came back. The nobleman came back. Everything I lost came back. God, I feel the Lord in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, with this new anointing, you're going to get back everything the enemy took from you. Everything you left behind. Everything you let go of. That's dreams and visions and aspirations. With this new anointing, you got the power to go get it back. If I got 10 folk in here that's got the power to go get it back, you give God a shout of praise like you're gonna get your stuff back. Listen to me. I ain't got no time. My time is up. It's been up. And I ain't trying to hype you. Go home if you gotta go, do whatever you gotta do. But I know I hear the Lord. The Bible says this, and we use this so wrong, but I don't have time to talk about that. This is what the Word of God says. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be what? Established. Believe his prophet, so shall you prosper.